In your Bibles this morning to Psalm 72. I heard a Sunday school teacher ask her class, what do you know about God? What do you know about God? A little girl raised her hand and said, I know that he's an artist. Teacher said, what do you mean he's an artist? He said, well, Jesus said, our Father who does art in heaven. So she knew about art, didn't she? Knew about God. But what do you know about God this morning? We want to look at that thought just a moment and see what God, who he is and what God does. In Psalm 72, the psalmist tells you about God. And let's look at verse 18 in particular. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. You get that? Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your work that you do in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are continuing to do a work of grace, a work of growth in our lives. And Lord, as the psalmist says, you only do wonderful things. And Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that as we gather here, we all have different things, different needs, different problems, different troubles in our life. But Lord, we know that you only do wonderful, wondrous things. We give you all praise and glory, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. What do you know about Jesus? Or what do you know about God? Spurgeon said, as well as a gnat to drink in the ocean, as a finite creature to comprehend the eternal God. Our minds just can't know all there is about God. To fully know God is beyond our comprehension, folks. We cannot know. We can study a lifetime and never really know all there is about God. Yet the Bible tells us there's many things that we do know this morning about God. And I want us to look at that. I know one thing about God is that he exists. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The Bible begins with the declaration that there is a God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. We know there is a God. I know he exists, for the Bible says so. In Psalm 41:1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So this morning, I believe, if you are here, you believe that God exists this morning. Amen? I believe that's something we all have in common. We know that there is a God, and that God exists. He's here this morning. I know that. The second thing I know is, from the reading of God's Word, that he loves us. Not only does God exist, every single one of us, God loves. The Bible says God is love. And the proof of his love is that he gave his only begotten Son upon the cross of Calvary. For the Bible says that he loved the world so much that he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him, puts their trust in him, their faith in him, lives for him, gives their life to him, shall not perish but have eternal life. The proof of God's love is not whether you're healthy this morning. Some people say, well, if God really loved me, he'd have gave me better health. That is not the proof of his love. The proof of his love is not whether you're wealthy or not, or what kind of car you drive, or what kind of house you live in, or what kind of job you got. The proof of God's love is Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that he gave upon Calvary's cross to die for you. That is the proof. Regardless of what color you are, what race, nationality, God loves you. I know one thing. God is love. He loves me. And I know that he exists. Those things we know for a certainty. And then the Bible says here that God is a doer of great and mighty things. And excuse me, I got bronchitis. And I'm trying to make it through these couple of days with that. It always seems to come along. Years ago, we sing a beautiful song. Got any rivers you think are impossible? Remember that song? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does what no other can do. Man, we got mountains to climb over today? Yes, we do, don't we? Some of you are facing hurdles in life. Some of you are facing we're all getting older. Amen, or oh me. I'm glad I'm getting older, because if you're not getting older, you're dead. Amen. We're facing getting older. We're also facing death. That troubles some people. It doesn't trouble me, because I know that God exists. I know that I'm going to be there with him one day in a place called heaven. Not because of who I am, not because I'm a preacher or anything like that. It's because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I know that he only does wondrous things. The Bible says whatever he does is wonderful, and everything that he does is great. Folks, God is a loving God. Now, I want us to look one at the psalmist here when he says, blessed be the Lord God. The psalmist says right here, blessed. In that word, we find the expression of adoration of the psalmist. He shows his adoration to God in that word, blessed. He's praising God with all his heart there. He shows an expression of adoration and an attitude of adoration. It tells us how he feels about his God. He says, blessed is the Lord God, the God of Israel. Folks, let me tell you something. This tells us how he feels about God. This is a person who's not cold in his walk with God. He's not out there just feeling lukewarm about God. He is admiring God. He has an attitude of praise towards God. He has an attitude of appreciation towards God. It is overflowing in his life. It's bubbling forth. And I can see as he comes to the end of Psalm 72, he says, blessed be the Lord God. You know, there's some of us who think of God as kind of a spare tire. We know he's there, and one day when we need him, we'll pull him out and use him. But that's not this psalmist, is it? You may be well one of those that says, well, I don't want to bother God. I know he's on my side, but I don't really speak to him that much. When he's around, when I need him, I'll call upon him. Folks, I don't know about you, but I need him every single day. Every moment, I need him. Oh, there's an old song that says, I need thee every hour. Man, most holy God. I hope that God is not a spare tire for you. I hope that you appreciate him. I hope your attitude is one that you can cry out, blessed be the Lord God. The psalmist here has only high thoughts of God. And when he uses that word blessed, he has an attitude and of adoration and an appreciation for God as a great and glorious God. I believe we need more of that in our lives. I believe we need more of that as a church. the act of adoration in his life. The word blessed also means to bless, or to kneel, or to salute. Salute God. I can picture the psalmist here. I'm not going to do it because it may take a come along to get me back up. But I can picture him kneeling because it means to kneel. And as he kneels before God and he raises his hands before God, he's lifted up his hands high towards God and he's given him praise and he cries out, "Blessed be the Lord God, the Lord God, the God of Israel." And the Bible tells us that we know that when we kneel, or kneeling is portrayed as one of a posture of prayer, that we kneel before God in prayer. I remember we talked about a man this morning, Daniel. Daniel is a man who prayed, the Bible says, 3 times daily. He would kneel before the Lord and pray. Paul over in Acts 20, 36 says he knelt down and prayed with the elders in Ephesus. Folks, kneeling before God, praising in an act of adoration towards our God, in an act of appreciation towards our God. It's showing that we acknowledge God as our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge God as a mighty God. We acknowledge God as a great God. We acknowledge God as a superior God. He is God. There is no other. Every person, the Bible says, one day will kneel before God and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible says every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth. That means every believer will one day bow before him. Every unbeliever will bow before him. Every agnostic, every atheist, all will bow before Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as Lord. Every old demon and the devil himself will have to bow before God. Oh, let me tell you something. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is the God, the Lord God of Israel. It's an act of reverence before him. Oh, many churches have kneeling benches. We have an altar here. You can kneel right there on the carpet. I always enjoy seeing people come to the front and kneel before God and just pour out their heart before God in prayer and have a prayer with God and say, "God, you are great God." It just means something when I see someone kneel before God, and I realize that many of you can't kneel anymore. But oh, in an act of adoration and praise, man, we ought to just lift our hands towards God and say, "God, I thank you. Blessed be our Lord God." Now, the psalmist cries out, "Blessed," and he's praising God. He says that God is worthy of our praise. We just sing a song, "Worthy, O Lord." Oh, man, worthy of praise. Let's give him praise today. Let's give God the glory today. The psalmist wants us to say, "God is great." I love Psalm 50, 150. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness." Praise the Lord. Folks, we deserve to praise him today for all that he's done for us. What does God deserve? He deserves our praise and adoration and our attitude. He deserves it all. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for God, you couldn't get saved. If it wasn't for God, we would be in a mess today. We wouldn't have a hope. I don't know about you, but I've got a hope. It's not a hope-so situation. It's a no-so situation. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly, wholly, wholly lead on Jesus' name. Folks, the psalmist says, blessed be the Lord God. Now, what does he declare? He's praising God that he is a permanent God. Lord, I want you to notice that. Look in verse 18. Blessed be the Lord. Now, you notice something about Lord? It's all capitalized. Has all capital letters. That indicates the name of Jehovah God. There is none so significant, none so sacred as this. And that's the reason the psalmist says, blessed be the Lord Jehovah. In Hebrew, it's translated Yahweh. Oh, that name was so sacred. I'm told that when the scribes would write it, they would take out a new quill and write it and then dispose of that quill, because so sacred, so holy was that name, Yahweh. Oh, it was the highest honor. And it declared that our God, there is none mightier, there is none holier, there is none above him. It declares God to be the self-existing one. It declares God to be the unchanging one. He never changes. He loves you so he'll always love you. Now let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, if he loves everybody, why does some die and go to hell? It's simply because they do not love him. He died for all. Every single person he died for. That's when it said whosoever. That means every single person that will call upon him, give him their life. He's willing to save. He says, I will that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. But some will say, nope, I want to live things my way. I want to do things my way. Well, if you do things your way, at the end of life, you will go to a place called hell. Because you can't live good enough. You can't live right enough to get to heaven. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. That's the reason he gave his son. He declares, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I love the writer A.W. Tozer. He said, God exists in himself and of himself. God didn't come into existence or was he brought into existence. He always was. He exists completely and entirely on his own. There has never been a time when he was not, and there will never be a moment when he will not be. He is the Lord. He always was there. In the beginning, God. He's the permanent God. He always will be. Not only that, the Bible says he's a powerful God. Now, look at the second name. Blessed be the Lord, and then he says God. The second name he uses is God. Now, this is the first name that we are given by God to declare himself. I said it a while ago in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Now that's a Hebrew word, Elohim. God is mighty and God is powerful. Folks, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, let me tell you something. God's mighty hand was a hand that was powerful, so powerful that he delivered the children of Israel from the Egyptian army. His hand parted the Red Sea. Some people say we don't believe that, but he did. Whether they believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. God said it. It was done. Folks, that's the power of God. It divided the Red Sea for his people and covered the Egyptians when he wanted it to. His mighty hand protected those same children as they walked through the wilderness for those 40 years into the promised land. I believe with all my heart the psalmist is right when he says, God is a powerful God. Blessed be Jehovah God. Amen. He's our permanent God. He's our powerful God. Not only that, he's a personal God. Look what it says. Blessed be the Lord God, the Jehovah God, the God, he uses that word again, of Israel. Man, he's a personal God. He's the God of Israel. Did you know that God wants to have a relationship with you this morning? Isn't that wonderful to know that the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer, the one that was before anything else was, the one that will be here when everything else goes, God wants to have a relationship with his people. And the Bible says he is not only that, he's my God. Amen. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hey, he's my God. There's nothing in life that I need that he can't supply. Now think about that, folks. You've got God on your side if you belong to him. You're his child. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. There's nothing that you can't ask him that he can't do for you. There's nothing that he wants any more than you to have a relationship with him. Now, there's a lot of people that say, well, I know, preacher, that God, he created everything, and he just created it, and now he's left it alone to evolve on its own. Hogwash. That does not teach biblically. Folks, let me tell you, some say he's up there in heaven, but he's just not involved in man's affairs. That's false teaching. The Bible says that God is involved in our life. When he created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden and they sinned, it wasn't Adam and Eve that came looking for God. It was God being involved in man. He's wanting to have a relationship with man. And he says, Adam, where are you? He wasn't looking for God. He said, Adam, what have you done? You've broken that fellowship with me. We walked in the garden. We talked. We had a great relationship. But you have broken that fellowship. You've disobeyed me. Adam, what have you done? God sacrificed an animal. You see, there had to be a shedding of blood. And he instituted those sacrifices for his people up until the time he sent the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of God, his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be a sacrifice for us. Oh, let me tell you something. God didn't create mankind. He didn't create this earth just to let it alone and go the way of the world. He created it to have a fellowship. Oh, he didn't need that, but he wanted man to have a fellowship. And he's there. And he's involved in every area of our life. He is God. He's the God Jehovah. He's the God Elohim. He loves us. He cares for us in our everyday needs, all our needs through life. God is there. And he deserves our appreciation. He deserves our praise. And that's exactly what the psalmist says. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Now look what he does. who only does wondrous things. Now let that sink into your head a minute. This is what God does. He only does wondrous things. Isn't that awesome? I see the psalmist says here the awesomeness of what God does. Wondrous. That speaks of great and wondrous things that God does. The psalmist praises God and says, I will speak of the glorious honor and the majesty of the wondrous things that God does. When I think of wondrous things God does, I think of the wonders of creation. I look outside and I love to go outside and look up at the stars. I look at the wonders that God does in the outside. I love the outside. I'd rather be outside any day than cooped up in a house. I can just love to walk through the woods. You know, I can't walk a mile around the loop, but man, I can walk miles in the woods. I just love being in God's nature. I think about all that God has done in the majesty. Just look at one tree and what's involved in that tree, and you can see the majesty of God there. Look at the sunrise in the morning, and you see the glory of the sunrise, and our God does all of that. You look at the stars at night and the moon, how it comes up, and all the wonder of the amazement of God, our awesomeness of God. We talked about S.M. Lockridge this morning, and I loved what he described creation. And this is from S.M. Lockridge. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge. I won't go into the other. We'll just pull that lever and go on. But here's the description of creation from him. It said, God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere onto the platform of nothing, and he spoke a word into existence, or world into existence. He said the reason God came from nowhere was there because there wasn't anywhere for him to come from. And coming from nowhere, he stood on nothing. And the reason he stood on nothing, there was nothing there for him to stand on. And standing on nothing, he reached out where there was nothing. And he reached and caught something where there was nothing to catch, and hung something on nothing and said, stay there. That's a pretty good description, isn't it? And then he says, he took the hammer of his will and struck the anvil of his omnipotence, and sparks flew everywhere. And he caught these sparks by the tips of his fingers and flung them into space and bedecked the heavens and the stars. And nobody said a word. And the reason nobody said a word, because there wasn't anywhere or anybody there to say anything. And God said, that's good. Amen. That's creation, isn't it? You take one look at the majesty of creation, and you have to say, God only does wondrous things. Now, what do you think about that? God only does wondrous things. You see, when Christ paid the sin debt by the redemption of Calvary's cross, God does wondrous things. Folks, I think that God's work in salvation, I think of all the wondrous works, and as far as I'm concerned, God was at his best on May 5th, 1975, in a little church in Rust called Eastside Baptist Church. There he paid a visit to an old boy and convicted his heart that he was a sinner and needed salvation. And by grace, he saved me, and he washed me as white as snow. And I know that God does wondrous things. Folks, God wants to change your heart today, just like He changed my heart and has changed many of your hearts today. God wants you to come to Him. He wants you to know Him personally. He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, we need that relationship, don't we? Now we also have the assurance of what He does, because the psalmist uses that word only. Now that's just a little word, but the Bible says God does only wondrous works, or who only does wondrous works. You know, that's assuring to me. That's assuring to me. To know that God does only wondrous things. You see, if God does only wondrous things, it tells me that He hasn't made a mistake. There's no mistakes in God. Everything happens in the lives of His people for good. God doesn't make any mistakes. Everything happens for a purpose, because God only does wonderful things. You see that? Preacher, why did this happen in my family? I don't know. I remember in 1985, I've told many of you this story before, my brother was killed in a tragic car wreck. Had three little children. And I thought to myself, oh God, why did you do that? Why did you take him? There is no why, but I know what. God only does wondrous things. And what He did there that day was a wondrous thing. I may not see it, but I know that God doesn't make a mistake, because God only does wondrous things. You may be asking, why has this happened in my life? I don't know. I've been asked that 10,000 times. Preacher, why did this happen? Why did God take our child? I don't know, but God only does wondrous things. I believe that. You see, we look at it from one side of the coin, and we only see one side of the coin. But by faith, if we turn that coin over, God only does wondrous things. Joseph, in his life, he could have got bitter. His brothers hated him. They wanted to kill him. They sold him into slavery. He went down to Egypt away from all his... Man, he said, God, I thought you was going to bless me. God, why? Joseph didn't say that. He knew God only does wondrous things. And when he come to the end of his life, when all of his brothers were there, he said, you meant it evil for me, but God used it for good. What's happening in your life today? You don't understand it, maybe, but I know one thing. God only does wonderful things. No matter what you're facing, cancer, God only does wonderful things. You see, don't be bitter. Just trust God that He only does wondrous things. Something's happening with your children. Something's happening in your life. God only does wonderful things. That's the assurance. And every time we look at the things that happened, we need to look at it from God's perspective and say, God only does wonderful things. folks, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. You know, I may not be here. You may not be here. We may be facing death. We may be facing, you know, I don't know any of that. You don't either. But I know that God only does wondrous things. Whatever God does is great. Whatever God wants to do in my life, it's going to be wonderful. You see, that's what the psalmist says. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wonderful or wondrous things. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, He wants you to come to salvation. He wants to do a wonderful thing in your life. He provided the way through Jesus Christ, His precious Son. All you have to do is by faith trust Him for it. Know that He wants you to come to Him, and know that He wants to do something wonderful in your life. Maybe you're here and you're having a problem. You're having trouble. You're having sickness. Whatever's in your life right now, I don't know. But don't you want to turn it over to Him? Why not just say, God, whatever you're doing, I don't understand it, but I know one thing. You only do wonderful things, and let Him do it. Okay? If you're here this morning and you're saved, well, praise God. He only does wonderful things. If there's something in your life you need to pray about, you can come to me, you can come to Brother Bill, you can come to Brother Jay, you can come to Brother Teddy. You can just come to the altar to God, and we'll pray with you. Or you can pray by yourself. God only does wonderful things. Maybe you're here today and you want to join our church and our fellowship. It'd be a wonderful thing if you did that. God only does wonderful things. Would you come? Whatever decision that you need to make, why not make it today? Don't put it off tomorrow, because today is the only day. Right now is the only hour or minute that we have left. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that You only do wonderful things. And Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, You know what the need is. You know if they're lost. You know if they just need to come pray. You know. Lord, make it reveal to them that You only want the best for their life, because You only do wonderful things. And we read that scripture that we know that all things work together for good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And Lord, we believe that. Remind us of that. And God, we thank You for the forgiveness that You give us. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?